Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. And after two special episodes, we are back to normal, aren't we, Dave?
Yeah, special implies in some ways better or, you know, of higher quality. They were, as you've heard, inferior quality and with only me and Pete without any guests. Our guest today is looking confused when he said special, Pete.
Yes. I mean, it's special because he's here as well. I didn't want to sort of talk this episode down in comparison. That wasn't my intention.
No. Well, I feel like we're back on track. This is basically the start of a new run. Shall we meet today's friend?
Yes.
So today's friend is the wonderful stand-up comedian and lovely man, Steve Bougeier. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I mean, I was in a good mood until I just found out I'm an unspecial part of the podcast. You brought me onto the least important podcast.
Yeah, the least welcoming introduction I could have done. Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, look, we're back on track now.
Thanks for having me, though.
Anyone that's still here after those two special episodes, we can enjoy you. How are you with friends? What a weird way of phrasing that question.
How am I with friends?
How are you?
Not got many. The TV show is a big part of my life due to the lack of friends.
Yeah, quite an irony that, isn't it, in general?
It is an irony.
Friends you have,
the more you watch Friends.
Yeah, I've never thought about that.
I having five friends, like good friends, is not actually that common, is it? They have five friends each.
Well, such like a rigid group as well, like no outsiders.
Yeah,
if you think about that lasts 10 years as well. Can you name any friends you've got now that you had 10 years ago, like a group of five friends that you had?
Definitely
10
not.
Years? There's probably a couple of people.
It goes in waves, and you have like a 3-year wave.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
And then a new season. A new season of Friends come in.
Yeah, it's like a reboot. It's like Joey.
They want to be realistic. They should have changed the cast every 3 years.
So how did you choose your episode today?
Well, I've, like many people, rewatched Friends when it went on to Netflix. So I watched it when I was younger, and obviously watched it intermittently when it's been on E4 all the time. But then I went from the start on Netflix, and I actually realized I hadn't seen some of the early ones. Like, I just missed out some of the early ones.
Okay.
You know, just like the odd little one.
Yeah.
So I really got into just watching every episode intently, and I'm a bit of a sitcom nerd. So I sort of like started, this is really lame, but I like write out the story plots and like the beats of the story and stuff.
Because
like I love writing sitcoms. That's what I want to do. So I like, you know, like I note down the plots of each story, because each episode's got three stories, right?
Yeah.
So you just beat it out. So I do that for every episode and have like a little essay almost.
So you've got like a notebook somewhere?
Notebook with all the friends. Yeah. Every episode, but like I've done it for like 20 episodes.
You're paying even closer attention to Friends than we are.
Yeah, but it's from a very sort of nerdy writer point of view. It's not very interesting. Yeah. But anyway, so when I was doing that, I watched this episode that I've picked, which is series 2, episode 22.
Yeah.
The one with the two parties. And it's just so perfectly plotted. It's just so well... It all happens pretty much in time, and it's just so beautifully put together, and the ending all ties together, and it's pacey and it's lovely.
Yeah, it's one of the things I noticed actually about watching it and made in my notes is how everything just builds really nicely, the little elements and then they all come together in a couple of moments.
And the story, exactly. The story's really simple. There's three stories, the one major one and then two subplots, and they just all come together at the last minute, and it's just beautiful.
It's a slightly different kind of comedy in this episode as well, because a lot of it is down to the farce of having to keep the two people separate, isn't it? It's a lot of it's quite physical as well.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's farce, isn't it? This episode, it's more almost like Fawlty Towers or that kind of thing. Yeah. It's just like physically ridiculous, like all the doors opening. And you're right, Friends doesn't do that very often.
No, and it's slightly different because there are the three plots, but really they all just merge into.
Well, the two subplots kind of come off the main plot. Exactly, they're not separate plots, which is unlike Friends. Yeah. This is so nerdy.
Mate, the reason we like to have different people on this podcast is to have different perspectives.
Yeah.
And today, look, settle in.
Today, we're going in deep.
We are going.
It's not
going
to be funny, but oh boy, it's going to be in depth.
It's going to be detailed. I mean, to be honest, that's basically the motto of our podcast. It might not be funny, guys, but boy, will we pick it apart.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it then. Season 2, episode 22, the one with the two parties. Here's the Wikipedia synopsis. Hey, Pete, this one's directed by our old friend Michael Lembeck.
Is it? Who's... Not, what was the guy last week?
Peter Boners.
Yeah, that's it. Peter Boners. Yeah. I miss that guy. Yeah.
It's quite a long synopsis, guys. So strap yourselves in. Sometimes they're super short, but here is.
It shouldn't be long.
It bloody is, mate. It's five lines. Here we go. Rachel's birthday is coming up, and Monica is planning a classy party for her and decides not to invite her father as her mother Sandra is already coming up and the two are at a point in their divorce where they can't stand to be in the same room. However, when Rachel's dad unexpectedly turns up, another impromptu party is set up at Chandler and Joey's for Dr. Green to keep him away from his estranged wife. There's a lot of pointless words in this synopsis. That's why it's so long at this stage. Things start to go quickly wrong when Sandra worries after seeing Ross fetching things for Dr. Green and believes her daughter's dating a man who reminds her of her father, while the guests at Monica's party quickly tire of the host sucking the fun out of the event with dull games and strict rules and begin fleeing to Joey and Chandler's more laid-back party instead. In the end, despite a few close calls, the six successfully manage to get the couple out of both parties without bumping into each other. Flipping heck. But that, I mean, that covers what's happened.
The whole episode.
If you haven't watched it recently, there you go. You're caught up. All right, well, let's start at the planning stage, because this is quite a chronological episode, isn't it? There are two little subplots, but it's basically, once we start at the party, it's kind of, it's just one evening, we go start to finish, and things spin off as we go.
Yeah, there's a scene at the start where it's obviously the day before or something, and then after that, it's all on the same night. It's all on the Saturday night.
The cold open before the credits is in the diner. Always good to have a bit of...
Don't see it much.
The diner era of Friends.
Yeah.
When they're planning this party with poached salmon and food committees and all that. So that's just like a very like...
It's just peak Monica.
It's just like Monica is really organised and loves this stuff. That's all
salmon,
we really get out
salmon is shit on all occasions. Like, salmon's very boring, let alone for a party. And in fact, maybe I feel particularly strongly about this because last night I was out and my boyfriend was very kindly doing dinner. And I asked him on the phone on the way back, I was like, oh, what's for dinner? And he said salmon. And I had to try really hard not to sound incredibly ungrateful because salmon is shite.
Wow. I'm going to have to disagree with you, Pete. I think salmon's beautiful.
Do you?
Smoked salmon on eggs is
quite
one of
classy.
My favourite things to have.
It's just quite boring, I think.
Can I offer the third salmon opinion just before we move back to the episode?
Yeah.
I love cold salmon of any kind.
Yeah.
But I'm not into warm salmon. So sashimi, great. Smoked salmon, great.
Yeah.
Poached salmon, no thanks.
Wow.
Grill it.
What
not
you've
into.
Used on salmon stir fry?
Nah, waste of a stir fry.
Wouldn't
mate.
Have it. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't put salmon in a stir fry.
See, that's what I didn't like to say to my boyfriend, who I really hope doesn't hear this.
it's nice that you hope your boyfriend doesn't take an interest in your career. Well, so listen to your show.
Let your boyfriend know that I like salmon of all temperatures, and I'm happy to eat his salmon stir fry.
So moving away from the salmon, there's the brief period now where they're planning the party. And we get that brilliant Friends thing, that classic sitcom thing where they're naming people that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Oh, let's bring Dennis and Enid or whatever.
Yeah, who are they all? Who are all these new friends?
Well, I was going to say this. She has got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
For someone who's already got five solid friends, to have that many new periphery friends to just turn
to
up
having a
party.
To come to two, to basically make two parties, though.
Two parties.
Yeah.
And they're almost gender split, which I'm sure we'll get into in a minute. But there's enough girls in the one party just for a good party.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is mad.
Having said that, Gunther is there. So that's... That shows you how far the net has been spread.
The weirdest thing about this episode, though, for me, happens in this scene when they're planning the party, right? They're in Central Perk and they're doing all this, blah, 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 blah. Joey slept with some of her friends that they can't invite. Hilarious, hilarious.
Yeah.
Then Rachel comes back from her sister's graduation.
Yeah.
And this sets up the whole premise that her mum and dad can't be in the same room together. It's been a horrible graduation. They start fighting. Everyone's embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. But Rachel makes reference to who is hosting the graduation ceremony.
Yeah, I wrote this down.
Desmond Tutu.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
They really managed to get a big name for that graduation, didn't they?
I mean,
was he a big name back then, though?
So yes, I was sort of going back through his history, but he was. She calls him Bishop Tutu. He was at that time an archbishop, but he was knocking about South Africa. Why is he in New York at a college graduation party?
I think that's a lovely little Easter egg that they've
put in there. They've just knocked it in.
I wonder if anyone notices that Desmond Tutu's been referenced in this.
And probably. I don't think I noticed it the first time I watched it.
No.
But I think that just sailed past me.
Yeah.
Like a number of the spurious Friends details quite often do.
Yeah.
But yeah, fair play.
Also, the way that Rachel just glosses over it.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Although in character, she would not know who Desmond Tutu is.
No, so. but Ross would.
Ross would be like, what? Archbishop Desmond
Tutu? Ross or Chandler or Monica or someone would be like, have you just been with Desmond Tutu? Have you spent the day with Desmond Tutu? And that's not what you're talking about.
That should be the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Then we're into party mode, aren't we? That's basically...
Straight into the party.
Unless you've, in your sort of detailed analysis, have much to say about the pre-party scene.
No, I mean, the Central Park is just setting up. Central Park is just setting up that Rachel's parents can't be in the same room together. Yeah. And the joke really is that Joey has fucked all of her friends.
Yeah. Again, which we just...
And this is in the fact, this is the sort of Joey I prefer, because obviously Joey morphs as a character. I can't remember exactly what series he sort of changes, but this is the very much like one-dimensional Joey, where his character is, he stares at boobs. And he shags women and doesn't bring them back.
Yeah.
Later on, he gets a bit more depth, but
yeah. I mean, you wouldn't really be mates with him, would you?
No, he's awful.
He's not.
He just bangs your mates.
Yeah. Bangs your mates, so you can't invite them to your birthday party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to go and have sex with your mates, but to then insist that they're not allowed to come to your birthday.
Also, another thing to factor in: we've already commented on how many friends Rachel's got at that party. That's also allowing for the ones that Joey's fucked. There would be more there.
Yeah.
I mean, he mentions two.
Yeah.
There could be more.
There could be a lot more.
I feel like in that situation, he doesn't really have a say over who does and doesn't get invited. Like, if he doesn't want them there because he feels like it would embarrass them, he should be the one who's embarrassed, really, shouldn't he?
Right. But yeah. It's quite indicative of his personality as well, that he is immature enough at this stage to not literally want to see these people that he hasn't called back.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So we're here. We're setting up for the party now in what becomes the party staging area.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice little... premise that ends up happening.
Yeah, the dad just arrives.
There's loads of really nice lines in this scene. There's all the... So this is where the farce starts, isn't it? They're trying to bundle him around. There's Joey saying, hey, why don't you come with me and put your coat on the bed?
And he goes, yeah, that's a two-person deal.
Yeah, exactly. And there's loads of really nice throwaway lines in that. Then the door goes again. It's Rachel's mum.
Yeah.
And their cover story for Rachel... So they slam the door in Rachel's mum's face and Rachel's dad goes, who was that? And they say, it's the Chinese menu guy.
Yeah. And then Chandler goes, I love this joke. Chandler goes, didn't have a menu, so just a Chinese
just
guy.
A Chinese guy. But what's a Chinese menu guy? Is this a thing from the 90s that we're not aware of?
Maybe it was a New York thing.
Did people come around with just the menu?
Yeah, like they only have a limited number of menus to hand around, so he had to retrieve them. Is that what they're suggesting?
I don't really
understand. Maybe.
I don't really... No, I genuinely don't really understand what that is. Because
it's like a... sort of in-person Deliveroo. Like, you just come over and just hold the menu to you.
Because he can't have just been delivering menus, which I could understand. You just pop that through the letterbox, wouldn't you? You'll be knocking on a door. Anyway.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe delivering menus. That makes more sense. Yeah. And then the joke is, the Chinese guy didn't even have a menu.
just a Chinese man knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So they sort of engage in all this farce, don't they? And then Rachel's mum does come in and... And
their explanation to her why they slammed the door on her face is that, we thought you were Rachel, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Clearly about 4 hours early as well.
Yeah.
Like Rachel would just knock back.
Yeah.
So this is the great sort of first bit of farce, isn't it? There's that really nice bit as well as the two-person coat line where Rachel's mum starts saying something to Phoebe.
Yeah.
And Phoebe's mum just starts hysterically laughing midway through a sentence. Yeah, that's a lot of really nice... Yeah.
And she goes, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the start so much.
Yeah. And then they have to shepherd her out, take the toilet. And they basically bundle Dr. Green out, don't they? Over to the other side.
And that's where the second party starts.
And that's where... That's a good bit of quick thinking.
Yeah.
On behalf of whoever second.
Well, I was going to say that. In this episode, throughout, all of the characters are actually very quick thinking.
Yeah.
Even Joey.
Yeah.
We'll see later on, he does some pretty smart decoys.
Yes.
All of them are like working as a slick oiled team
to
keep this... fast going.
That's why I think the episode's so nice, is A, because they're all in it all together for most of it, but it is, you kind of get that glimpse into why these people are good friends, because they are on that same wavelength. They are second guessing each other all the time. They are one step ahead of each other, and it is that kind of teamwork thing that makes them seem so close, I think.
I mean, I know that is the entire premise of this episode, and it's only a sitcom, but it's a fucking mad idea, isn't it? Just going second party, just
across
the hall.
That's
going to end well. Yeah.
That's less hassle than just have two adults in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. What would have had to happen? You know, how bad would it have been?
Yeah, one of them would have just left. Yeah. That's what would have happened.
Also, what would the two parties have been? What would the one party have been like? Would it have just been the Monica party, the boring one?
I think so. Yeah.
It would have been quite a full flat, I think, if they'd all been in the same place. Because there's a lot of people, particularly in Chandler
Good
and Jones.
Point.
By the end of it, there wouldn't have been enough Sam and Moose to go around.
You would have hated that.
Not enough Sam and Moose or Flon.
Glad I wasn't there.
Flon/Flan. Second appearance of Flon, Pete. And this is I think this is probably a good point to interject with.
When did that come up before?
Bit of podcast business. It came up in the very first episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
The one where Ross is fine and he makes fajitas and Flon.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm going to hand over to Steve now because Steve has basically tried to attempt to live up to something that's happened previously on this podcast.
So I saw that David tweeted a few episodes ago about Christmas with the news bringing in... you made a sandwich that relates to the episode, which was a fantastic effort. And I thought it's a nice idea. And then when I saw the Flon in this episode, I thought, well, I could bring in a Flon. Right? So then I started thinking, well, what is a Flon? That's the first question I had. Because
yeah.
I don't know what a Flon is. I've never said the word Flon. I don't even know I'm saying it right now.
Well, I think we say Flan and they say Flon.
Okay, Flan.
But I don't know.
So anyway, I started thinking what a Flan was. And then I Googled what a Flan was, and it's just a tart. It's just a tart, basically. We would call it like a custard tart. So then I went to Sainsbury's this morning. They didn't have it. Then I went to Little Waitrose. And of course, Waitrose had a much bigger selection of tarts. And I have found this isn't exactly what it was, but I have brought a lemon tart. That's what we'd call it.
Yeah.
But I think if this was in America, Monica would call it a lemon flan.
Which is good.
So I've brought it. We've got it. We've got a flan in the studio. It's right here. It's wobbling. There's no candles in it.
We're glossing over the reduced sticker.
It was reduced.
Reduced to what? What kind of expense are we talking here?
It was £3.15. It's now £2.65. So not a huge reduction, but enough to make it.
That's not much of a discount, really.
No, but yeah, enough to make it worthwhile. And so I've got it. The ironic thing is I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't even eat it.
You're lactose intolerant. Pete's in Leeds, so I've got to eat an entire fucking flan on my own now.
Your challenge, Dave, is to eat the whole thing before the end of the episode.
Is that how this podcast...
It does actually look good, though.
It does look really nice. I'm trying to be on a health kick at the moment, so this is really, really tricky.
I'll have a bit of it. I've got these pills I can take that give me the lactase that I'm missing.
Just take them before you eat lactose?
Yeah, just before, yeah. Then I can have a slice of the lemon flan.
Oh, mate. Okay, right. We're going to have some flan.
Tell Chris Smith that everyone else can play his game.
You have to take a
photo. Admittedly, he made a sandwich. I just went to Waitrose.
You went to Sainsbury's and Waitrose, mate. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah.
The one with the two parties, the one with the two shops.
But there is. We have flan.
We have flan.
Yeah, you went in pursuit of flan. You did well.
And also, I did some research on what a flan is.
But you've just concluded that it's a lemon tart. It didn't look like a tart, did it, on Friends?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. On the Friends one, it didn't look like it had much pastry going on.
No.
It looked like it was just the kind of custardy wobble. Mm. More like jelly, almost.
Opaque jelly.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've got here is, I think, the jelly's in the middle, but yeah, we have got pastry.
Yeah,
so it doesn't look that like it.
Look, mate, I'm not decrying your efforts. It's a good effort.
It's enough.
We do appreciate it on this podcast. And to be honest, setting a precedent, Pete, where, and this makes no difference to you at all because you're in a different city, but setting a precedent where people bring food in.
Yeah.
Absolutely thrilled with that.
I mean, there's probably some sort of food reference in most Friends episodes. So some people might have to really, you know, scrape the barrel to...
The Thanksgiving episodes are going to be brutal.
Dave, you can have a lot to
whoever
eat.
Whoever has to bring in that that shepherd's pie that Rachel makes.
Oh, is it?
Beef trifle.
Yeah.
I'd love if someone made that.
The whole thing. Well, interestingly, we have a guest coming up who nearly chose that episode because they had made the beef trifle.
No way.
They've made one previously for some sort of friend's party.
Right.
But the flan does provide another nice line that I really enjoyed where Rachel's trying to look on the bright side of these two parties once she arrives and she said, hey, at least there's two birthday cakes.
Yeah.
And Chandler says, actually, there's one birthday
flan. One flan. And then there's a lovely topper where he goes, don't ask me, Monica was on the food committee. Yeah. Which I love that there's multiple committees for these parties and clearly Monica is on every single one of them.
Yeah, there's probably at least five committees of which there is one member and they're all Monica.
Yeah, that's a great little joke.
By this time, Ross and Rachel have arrived back now, haven't they? And Rachel has already revealed to Ross that she knew about the surprise party anyway.
Yeah.
So what a bloody waste of time this has all been.
Yeah.
They could have just asked her which friends she wanted to invite.
They sort of throw that away a bit, didn't she? She goes, I knew.
Cheers. You'd be gutted, wouldn't you? You spent this much time on the party. You know, I knew. Oh, you, you joking? At least just pretend you didn't
classic
know.
Classic ungrateful Rachel.
Yeah, classic Rachel.
She's such a daddy's girl as well. That's the thing I don't like about Rachel.
Her dad is such an arsehole as well.
Yeah, he's such an arsehole, but she's fucking sucks up to him so much.
Yeah.
And as a mummy's boy, daddy's girls are my arch nemesis. So, yeah, I don't like her early series.
You can't see it in his eyes, Pete, because you're not here, but it's real.
No, I can hear it. Yeah, I can really feel it.
I like her later on. In fact, I love her later on. But early on, Rachel is not for me.
Is that because when you were younger, as a mummy's boy, did you clash with daddy's girl? Like, yeah. Did you feel like they were...
Well, a daddy's girl never goes out with a mummy's boy, right? That's they're two right. polar opposites. They're not going to ever live together. So yeah. I guess I resent them for that.
Yeah, fair enough. So is your current girlfriend not a daddy's girl?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd say she's just a girl.
There you go. Fine, absolutely. Good match.
Yeah.
Good match, guys. A mummy's boy can go out with a girl.
A girl. And then a daddy's girl has to just go out with her dad, I guess. Stop trying to fuck your dad, weirdos.
It's getting darker than normally would.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's fine, mate. You bring to the party whatever you want to bring to the...
Flan.
To the two parties. You brought the reduced flan, and we cannot appreciate that enough.
Rachel knows about the parties, and then she's immediately on board with the two-party setup.
Yep.
She doesn't really question that too much.
No, she's absolutely fine.
She's at both parties.
Yeah.
And then the sort of farce continues from there.
Well, so there's... I think maybe one reference to it that Ross is questioned by Rachel's mum, who basically says, "Oh, you haven't been here for a while. Where have you been?" And he makes reference to the fact that he's got the shits from Sam and Moose.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there are very few problems caused by the fact that literally half the people you think are there aren't in this quite small room.
And no one seems to notice, really, that Rachel, the actual birthday girl, isn't at the party for at least half the time.
Which is probably more understandable in the boys' apartment.
Yeah, because they're having a great time.
Dancing and volleyball.
Yeah.
But in the Monica apartment, Rachel's just gone, "I'm not playing this game." They're all sitting around basically in silence.
Yeah.
And she's out of there. So it's really just Rachel's mum playing parlour games with Rachel's male friends because all the girls are over there.
Yeah. And Gunther.
Poor old Gunther. It's I followed Gunther on Twitter this week, guys.
Oh, really?
This is an aside. But how many followers does Gunther have on Twitter?
You mean the actor?
The actor, James Michael Tyler, that plays Gunther.
I reckon it's over a million.
Over a million.
I reckon he's got now, I reckon about 50,000.
James Michael Tyler, Gunther, 3,255 followers.
No way.
Yep.
That's less followers than me.
Right.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I feel like he deserves... a bit more than that. Although he's probably sort of tweeted more things than he ever actually said in Friends.
Well, here is the interesting thing. How many followers does Matt LeBlanc have? Joey from Friends. Arguably one of the most famous men in the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, over a million. Gotta be.
He's got 470,000 followers.
Wow.
It's not enough, is it?
I guess because they're not of that sort of current generation of... sort of social media famous that everyone's sort of forgotten, not forgotten about.
And also they weren't on Twitter when they were at their peak fame. No. Although Matt LeBlanc is now pretty on top and stuff, but...
It's really weird, isn't it?
It's weird.
Like the Friends cast.
If Friends was around now, they would kind of have like, I don't know, 10 million at least, I imagine.
Oh, they'd like 100 million. That's what I mean. I just
like how many of like the Big Bang Theory guys got? They must have loads more. Anyway, back to the episode.
Good job someone's steering this.
Get some direction to this damn podcast.
So you know how he mentioned how all the women are being funneled into Chandler and Joey's apartment?
Yeah.
But there are women in Monica's apartment. So I would be quite insulted if I was one of the women that Chandler was willing to allow to go into Monica's. Like that's quite a put down.
And also, if you're one of the men who's allowed into Chandler and Joey's party.
Yeah, it's very strange.
You don't see them as a threat.
I mean, we should say this is like, there's a couple of moments where Chandler doesn't shine in this episode.
No.
It very much
shows pre-Me Too.
Yeah, it's very pre-Me Too. He's literally funneling women into his apartment.
Yeah.
Like, it's nigh on trafficking. He's just going, all the women in here, all the men can go to the thing that you've actually been invited to and tried to turn up to.
Which is overly confident for a man who's wearing a tie at a house party.
Oh, the dress code's something else, isn't it?
There are a few other ties. It's not just him, but, you know, he looks particularly grim.
It's the style of the 90s, mate. Man of the 90s.
Also with Chandler, there's that very questionable moment towards the end of the episode where he comes out of his apartment and a girl goes running out and he goes, no, I'll be skins and you be shirts. Implying that he is trying to coerce an unwilling female into taking her top off and play a game of shirts and skins with him.
In the middle of a party.
In the middle of a party. It's the most laddie thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's like a frat party.
And it's thrown away like a funny line and everyone laughs and then there's that nice moment where Chandler and Rachel...
And then suddenly he's the good guy.
Yeah, then suddenly he's comforting Rachel. But you have to really dial that back because let's not forget, she is storming out of the party.
Yeah.
She's not just... If someone makes a drunken comment, if Chandler had gone, look, you take your top off?
Yeah.
At most, the initial reaction would have been... No, mate, leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And just gone and talked to someone
else. For her to storm out. Yeah, yeah. He must have been insistent.
Let's not accuse a fictional character. You know, it is safe legal territory, but
let's just say if it was 20 years later,
yeah,
she would be running out of that apartment straight to the newspapers.
There's also a strange, talking of Chandler. Chandler is loving this party like a man that's never been to a party.
Yeah.
So all the girls end up coming in and... From what I can see, and we don't know what's happening in his bedroom, they set up a volleyball court or something.
Yeah.
But it looks like quite a normal party, right? There's some music on.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a drink. Nice time.
Yeah.
And Chandler and Joey have this conversation where Chandler basically says, a girl just stuck her tongue down my throat.
Yeah. And called him Dennis.
And called him Dennis. And he's acting like this is the biggest thing that's ever happened to... I mean, he's 25 at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He must have kissed a girl by now.
Yeah, but he's not kissed many, is he?
No.
He would be excited.
Yeah. The strange thing is, though, did you notice what happens, how they break that conversation up?
Doesn't someone say Dennis from the bathroom?
She calls Dennis from the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? She's just waiting in the bathroom. They've only got one bathroom. It's not a two-bathroom apartment.
Also, let's look into that a little bit, because if she thinks he's called Dennis, that means he has, again, tricked someone.
Yeah.
Unwillingly to kiss him on the basis that he is Dennis.
I don't understand who she obviously knows someone called Dennis and therefore has surely seen actual Dennis before. Is that like, do they look alike and that's where the... I don't understand how she's confused when it's someone she clearly knows for Chandler.
It's like a precursor to that storyline they have later on in the series where a woman leaves a message on the answer phone for a man and Chandler pretends to be that man and has a sort of semi-relationship with her.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't
maybe
it?
Maybe this was what inspired it. They were like, oh yeah, Chandler's a creep. Maybe Chandler's willing to pretend to be other men to kiss girls. I think he could get her on his own right. That's the sad thing about the writers don't back him.
Maybe lose a tie.
Yeah, lose a tie.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is. For us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a program you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
One of the nice subplots is the Ross Dr. Green, which all builds up to this really nice moment where Rachel's mum, and it really like builds nicely, doesn't
really
it? Like,
well done.
There's just like a little, very gentle trickle of
four beats.
Yeah, four beats of Ross's. I mean, talk us through the beats, Steve. Is that your beat sheet?
So I haven't got it with me, annoyingly. But at first, Ross is trying to chat to Dr. Green to keep him entertained. There's a lovely little interaction where he says, "How's the heart surgery going?"
Yeah.
And then he makes a joke about all the good thing about all his dinosaurs that are already dead.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Green wants him to go and get him a whiskey. Is it? Oh, scotch. Scotch.
Scotch, yeah.
Neat. Yeah. And there's that nice joke about cool and neat.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
There's a couple of nice Ross moments in that interaction. He goes neat and Ross goes cool.
Yeah.
And then goes out at the next bit and goes, "Oh, righty roo."
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, that's a weird time to first time to say righty roo. Yeah. Anyway, so he gets the whiskey neat. And then, Rachel's mum notices that and says, "Oh, that's what Dr. Green drinks, Rachel's dad." So that's the first beat. So that's the first moment that she thinks. She sort of clocks that. And then he goes back out and Dr. Green sends him in to get the cigarettes and glasses.
Yeah.
So then he's back in the staging room party and he comes out with the bifocals and the cigarette. So he then has to pretend to Rachel's mum that A, he smokes, and they have to cover that he's wearing identical glasses to her dad.
Yeah.
And Rachel's just like, they're very common glasses. And they don't explain that Ross needs, why he needs bifocals. I mean, like, that's mad for someone of that age to need bifocal, one focal, So there's that, and there's that funny bit where he pretends he's a big smoker and has to leave. So that's enough for Mrs. Green to think, wow, Rachel is dating her dad.
Yeah.
So that's three triggers, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's enough. A drink, cigarette, and the glasses.
Yeah.
And I guess they're both doctors.
Yeah, that's
I guess
true.
It's the other similarity. Then there's that wonderful moment where he comes out of the staging room party, and then the Dr. Green's just waiting for him and sees Ross with the glasses and his cigarette in his mouth, and he says, "I was just moistening the tip."
Also, the fact that Ross thinks he needs to put the cigarette in his mouth to prove to Rachel's mum that he's actually going to smoke it is proper like teenage psychology, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going like, of course I'm going to smoke it. Want to see me put it in my mouth so you know it's actually me that's a smoker?
There's this tiny, very subtle moment as well when Ross first opens the door and sees Rachel's dad there, where he just like tilts his head slightly to try and focus while looking through the glasses as well, which is very, very good.
That's nice, yeah. So there's, that's two beats. Oh, so it's only three beats. And then the next beat is Mrs. Green talking to Rachel saying, "Darling, I think you need to go to therapy because you're dating your dad," which is so nice.
Yeah, and it's all that just builds because of Ross trying to keep Dr. Green out of the apartment.
Yeah, and it's just like a really nice, the writers have clearly gone, right, we've got them in this situation, they need to keep them separate, what could happen?
Yeah.
Like, what is the, and there are loads of things you could think of before you think of that. Like, that's, they must have had loads of ideas to get to that point.
Yeah, that's nowhere near a first thought.
Yeah. So that's why I love it. I think it's such a nice, clean build of the story.
When he goes to pour the scotch, he pours a lot of scotch.
Yeah, it's almost half the glass, isn't it?
Like half a pint of scotch.
Yeah.
Which should have been really Rachel's mum's first clue that he does not know.
You're dating an alcoholic.
You don't have to drink scotch.
Yeah.
But my bigger problem here is, why is there no booze at Joey and Chandler's?
Well, I think that every time, maybe it's just the scotches over there.
Right. So the scotches at Rachel and Monica's, but all, because they're not just going across the hall every time they want a drink, are they?
No.
That would ruin the whole palaver.
One of the people who Phoebe is trying to, people traffic out of Monica's into the other apartment says, "Is it true there are beers over there?" So there's some booze, but we don't see it.
So we think it's just sophisticated, high-end booze at Monica's.
Yeah.
You can have a neat scotch, but you can't have a beer or a Jaeger bar.
It's just Bud Light over in the... And that's the other brilliant subplot that builds so lovely, which is the Phoebe... being a smuggler, being a peaky smuggler, which at first there's the obviously happens with Gunther, and there's the joke about the coasters. Someone hasn't used a coaster as a distraction, and then he gets him out. But then I think it's the next beat where, oh, there's two more beats where a man comes over to her and says, I hear you can get people out of here. And then that's the sort of first premise of the idea that she's a smuggler.
Yeah.
And then the next beat is that lovely interaction where she's talking to like three people going, you've got to go now. And it's like, can I go and get my coat? I'm like, no, there's not enough time.
There's no time. Yeah.
And then that bit about, she says that everything you've heard is true.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
In fact, the performance of Phoebe saying that someone hasn't used a drinks coat. She said there's sort of a, is it like water rings or something? In fact, she delivers that bit so well that there is actually audience applause as well when she does that.
Yeah, that whole prison break sort of plotline smuggling stuff.
Beautiful. And then, oh, actually, I guess that does climax in Monica catching Phoebe, smuggling people in.
Right.
And then she says something like, they've worked hard. It's a Saturday night. Let them live their lives.
Yeah. Which is the point where you go, God, just being at Monica's party. I know it's the whole
so
point of it,
shit.
But it's so dry. It's so drab. It's so awful. And there's that. It's a really nice payoff when Rachel's mom eventually is leaving that party, which just in one sentence sums up sort of Monica's hosting. And she goes, I've left my 10 verbs on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
You be sure to send me that poem.
Send me the poem.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but then there's a nice switch of that later on where after Joey's kissed her, the mum, as one of the final bits of farce, she says, oh, this is the best part I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And it lets Monica go, fine, thank you.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice switch.
Monica vindicated, finally.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is where we're at now, isn't it? We're at the final bit of farce, which all takes place in the hallway.
Yes.
And there's basically them dancing around and that really nice visual physical bit where Ross, Chandler and Joey are sidestepping. Dancing.
Provide like a noise wall.
Yeah. Just to let Dr. Green get. He doesn't question it.
No.
I get from Rachel's mum's point of view, she's like, oh, they're a bit pissed. But what's he thinking at that point?
For quite a cantankerous man, you'd think he would have raised an issue with that, but he doesn't.
Yeah. And then Phoebe finds Dr. Green in the apartment and it all starts to unravel because actually he's safe in there now. They're saying goodbye to Rachel's mum in the hall. Dr. Green is. What's Dr. Green's name? Do we ever know this?
I'm not sure we ever know.
Isn't there a bit in one episode where Ross uses his first name and then realises that he shouldn't?
Feels like a Googleable moment, doesn't it, this? Dr. Green. All right, okay, guys, I had to Google this, and I can't imagine we've ever heard this, because if you had to guess Dr. Green's first name, what would you guess?
Francis.
Pete?
Charles.
Leonard.
Leonard Green.
Have we heard
no,
ever referred to as Leonard?
No, I don't recognise that.
So where's that come from?
Right, well, exactly what I'm trying to scroll.
What's
through.
He listed on the credits as? Dr. Green or Leonard Green?
I think Dr. Green, that's another great question. Trivia though, this is his first appearance.
Yeah.
The one with the two parties. First time we see Leonard Green.
Yeah.
But there you go.
You don't see him many times though, do you?
No, he pops up time to time. He goes to dinner with Rachel and Phoebe once, doesn't he, when Rachel's pregnant.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a bit of trivia for you guys.
Great, Leonard Green.
Dr. Green's first name.
Name suits him. So they do the wall. He's stuck in the Monica apartment.
Yeah.
Phoebe thinks he needs to get out of there. So then there's that moment where she opens the door and then they just do more noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does she keep her in there?
So she doesn't in the end. She says, do you want a creme de menthe?
Oh, yeah.
And he says, no, I need to be going back to my chateau in a really weird way.
Yeah.
So then she shouts, well, I guess we'll be going back in the hall then. And then that's the point at which Joey grabs Mrs. Green.
And this is where there is a slight inconsistency, because at that point they can hear through the doors.
Right, yeah.
Whereas throughout the episode, we just have to assume they cannot hear the parties either side of that corridor.
That's a very good point, isn't it?
Whereas suddenly when Phoebe wants to shout, they're like, oh, no, these doors are quite thin.
Also, when Phoebe is attempting to get Rachel's dad out of the apartment, after the party is finished, behind them there are still two people sat on the sofa doing absolutely nothing.
Dr. Green does not question why they're in the staging area.
Why are there two strangers here?
Why are
they?
He
probably
allowed?
Just assumes they're the staff, to be fair. I think Leonard Green's the sort of man that would have staff at a party.
Yeah.
Phoebe takes him back in the hall. Joey grabs Mrs. Green. Sandra, we know her name. We know she's Sandra.
Yeah.
And gives her a big old kiss. Proper old smooch.
Which is great for a divorced lady to get.
Well, she's had a wonderful evening. She's about to get a poem made up of her 10 favourite verbs.
Yeah, and she got to kiss Matt LeBlanc.
Snogged Matt LeBlanc, who has a, you know, surprisingly few followers on Twitter, but she doesn't know that at the point.
Is there an implication that maybe Joey's going to bang the mum and not call her back?
I think that's what we're all worried about at that stage. That is the one moment where the girls are happy to let Joey hit on someone they know.
That's where you're using his sort of creepiness as a positive.
Yeah. And it all comes out. Before we move on from this bit, the very best moment for me in the whole hallway trying to keep them apart thing is when Ross Dr. Green tries to open the door to come into the hall from Joey and Chandler's, and Ross pulls on it yeah. and leans back
still
and makes reference
it, yeah.
to he's practicing for water skiing.
Yeah.
And it's a really great bit of physical comedy. David Schwimmer just sort of leaning back, holding this doorknob.
That is great, yeah.
I'm preparing for the water skiing.
He sort of hinges on his knee, doesn't he? He's resting on his knees and follows the door as it opens and shuts.
Yeah.
And there's also, we've sort of skipped over the beautiful moment. This is what Friends does really well.
Yeah.
Of like, it can be relentlessly funny for 21 minutes and they'll have a minute of sincerity and character kind of honesty and pathos. And there's just Rachel just sort of crying, just realising that her life is now two separate parents. And this is what it's going to be like for her. And then Chandler, who we know has divorced parents, is the one there to talk to her. And it's just like this really great moment. He doesn't try to offer. He doesn't try to say that it's going to be okay. He just hugs her.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's going to be shit. And there's a nice bedwetting joke. And that's what I love about Friends. They just do those moments so well.
Yeah.
And that's what separates it from just a standard gaggy sitcom.
Yeah, and it's because they've set up these characters, then we actually care about them and we like them. And yeah, there's just these.
But it's those really moments that make us like
tender moments. Like
that's
exactly.
That's one of the first moments. Like, I mean, I know it's series two, but it's one of the first moments that makes you go, "Rachel is a real person."
Yeah,
like she's quite vacuous in series one.
Yeah,
and you root for her because you want her and Ross to be together. But that's a moment where you go, "Oh, and I want Rachel to win.
Like, yeah.
I want her as a person."
Then the episode ends with the destruction of a flan.
Yeah, which is a lovely callback with the volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball into the flan.
And having said that, I've just got a volleyball here.
Don't destroy the flan. Mate, it's bad enough you've only brought a lemon tart, but if you now don't allow me to eat that lemon tart, I'm going to be livid. Should we do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
How confident do you feel about a 5-question attention to detail quiz, Steve?
Not that confident,
no?
But we'll see.
From a man that's literally written down the beats of the Friends.
But I feel I've not focused on the right things.
The details, no. Yeah. And this is where people quite often get unstuck. So I'm going to ask you, for example, question one.
Yeah.
Which two...
What did Chris Smith get on this quiz?
Chris Smith got definitely at least 4 out of 5. Did he get 5 out of 5 in the end? I feel like the final question, he didn't get the name.
I don't know why I've got so much beef with Chris Smith. I've never met in my life. Yeah. It's just,
We'll set up a showdown at some point, don't you worry?
Yeah.
This is the extent. He did not get the name of the tutor that Phoebe did lessons with at night school when she was doing a literature class.
Fucking hell.
Tony. Didn't get it.
Wow. All right.
Question one.
Okay.
Which two of Rachel's friends has Joey slept with?
Oh, come on. I don't know.
This is quite a good episode.
This is going to be bad, actually.
It's quite a good episode for detail.
I don't know. I've no idea.
No,
I'm sorry.
I mean, I'd be a bit disappointed in you if you got them. It's Shannon Cooper and Stacey Roth. Why would you ever get those?
Surnames as well.
Yeah, right so, mate.
Question two. What is Dr. Green's job? Doctor is not an adequate answer here.
No, he's it's a heart surgeon, basically. But the word they use is it's like cardiovascular.
Yeah, vascular surgeon.
Vascular surgeon. You can have that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There we go. Back on track.
We're off. Still on track to draw with Chris Smith.
Question three. And this is one that I like to bring up just to discuss how and why this has happened. Which celebrity apparently has the same glasses as Dr. Green? I just love these references to people that are so irrelevant in 2019.
I remember clocking that and I remember thinking, I don't know who that is.
Yes.
I don't know the answer then, but I remember him saying it.
It's Neil Sedaka.
Who is that?
He's a singer, mate. He's a singer. Not so relevant, isn't 2019, is he?
No.
Question four. What sort of tournament is Monica trying to start at her party?
Oh, but Boggle.
Yes.
Yes.
A Boggle tournament.
Oh, God. This is so stressful, guys. 2 out of 4 is not too bad, though. Too Christmas can be so fucking smug.
I love this rivalry we've created out of absolutely nothing.
When you tell him, or if you ever find out, he's like, who the fucking is this guy? Yeah. Never heard of him. Steve Bouchard. What?
He'll be listening.
Why has he got so much beef with me?
Question five. See if you can beat your arch nemesis, your old arch nemesis. What did Rachel's mum apparently spend $1,200 on? For context, Dr. Green's ranting at Rachel.
It's one of the things he's annoyed about her for. And apparently one of the reasons they're getting divorced.
Yeah, because he talks about her boat.
Yeah, you work at a boat.
Is it handbags?
No, it's bonsai trees.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
I knew that.
One of those ones where as soon as you hear it, you're like,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
2 out of 5, mate.
Not good enough.
Not bad. but
two
not
out of
good
five.
Enough.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Is that about average?
Yeah, 2 to 3 is average.
Okay.
Adam Hess is coming on the podcast in a few weeks.
Oh, he'll know. He's freaking Rain Man.
He texts me to say, whatever else happens, I need to win this podcast. So I think he's prepping yeah. to a high degree.
What episode is he doing?
That's a great question. He's not let me know yet.
Oh, okay.
He's a few weeks away.
He'll memorize the script or something. He's a freaking psychopath.
Anyone else you want to start beef with? Smith, Hess.
It's so out of character as well. I'm normally so nice to everyone.
Steve, who else do you hate, mate? Who else do you hate?
Oh, well, we're on it. I love Hess, and I'm sure Chris Smith is the nicest man.
He is a very lovely man. On that note, thanks for coming on.
Thanks
Friends
so much for having me, Jenny. I've loved that.
Yeah,
we've had thank a nice time.
Enjoy chatting about Friends.
And we say this to people fairly regularly, but you do the maths. There's 240 episodes of Friends, and we do not have enough Friends. So at some point, you will receive another text.
Oh, great. Okay.
So once we run out of friends.
Yeah. You haven't got as many friends as Rachel.
I mean, Rachel's bloody party could do this podcast for a couple of years.
Yeah,
but I just don't think me and Pete have that pulling power, do we, mate? We're not Jennifer Aniston in the 90s.
Oh, boy, you're not.
So start thinking about your second favourite episode.
And boy, am I going to do better in the quiz that time.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All the best.
Thank you.
Hello, we're still here.
Hi.
Ooh, very enthusiastic. You leaning into this bit there, Pete?
Why? Did I sound really... Oh, I said hi quite enthusiastically.
Did you? No, really sounded like you'd lost interest.
Oh, maybe I moved away from the mic. Hi!
That's better. The enthusiasm we expect. On next week's episode is the wonderful Nat Main, and Nat has chosen which episode?
The one with the stoned guy.
The one with the stoned guy. Season 1, episode 15. And if you don't know who Nat Main is, she has been referenced on this podcast before, and all will be revealed next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.